Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And services.
You found Atomic Android Radio.
Hello and welcome to In Universe, where we talk the ins and outs in all our favorite fictional universes. I'm Andrew.
I'm Adam. I love the approach to getting the intro right is by slamming through it as fast as humanly possible. It's a great move.
Yeah, look, the last time I fucked it up so many times until I'm like, I'm just gonna do it real quick, and it worked.
So look, like, if it works, it works.
Let's go out the gate and let's fucking do it. But today we're fucking talking about.
Today we're fucking talking about Moon Knight, I guess.
Yeah, we're talking about fucking Moon Knight, dude.
There's look, a strange energy to this episode.
Look, it fits in line with the topic, dude. There's a strange energy to this fucking trip.
There is, though. There is, though.
I'll come out the gate and say that out of all the Marvel shows, Moon Knight was probably my most anticipated one. It's the one.
It's the one I had the most potential of liking.
Yeah. I really feel like that's. I was like, oh, there's a lot that they could do with this, and if they let it be, this could be a really good show.
Yeah. And I don't think they do. I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit. I don't think they do.
I don't think they do. Like when the show started around episode 2-ish, I was like, okay, I have to readjust my like. Yeah, idea
that was my
of
big
what the
problem.
Show
I
is.
Had I have to come at the show on its terms, not what I wish it was.
Yeah, because I when it was coming out, I was like, oh, this could be like a Daredevil level thing where he's dealing with street crime, and but he's also dealing with like all his psychological issues, and you could have a lot of things with like what's really going on, or if it's like in his head, or it's like actually happening and shit. I was like, that sounds like a lot of cool potential to work
yeah
with.
and well, I guess not well trodden, but trodden ground, you know, that happens
you,
in the Moon Knight.
You have a lot to work off of with that kind of stuff. And then around episode 2 and 3-ish, I was like, okay, this isn't that, let me like readjust how I view this show and maybe I'll enjoy it more. But that doesn't work because it seems like every episode of this show, and maybe this was intentional choice, but it wasn't one that they did well, but it felt like every episode of this show was an episode of a different show.
Yeah, I could see that. And maybe it's unfair, but I could sort of see the seams in the production of like, this is the show we wish we were doing in certain episodes. Like the one that ends in the asylum, that very much felt like somebody wanted to do Legion, but just couldn't.
Yeah, and like that, we talked about it after that episode, that if the show kind of was that, it could have been a really interesting thing.
If they'd introduced that concept, even the way they did it, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but even if they had started that from the beginning, it would have been much stronger and like, maybe.
You do it like end of episode 2 or something like that. But yeah, like how it was done, like immediately I was like,
oh, like, so obviously it's a cop-out this isn't, yeah,
this isn't the case. This is like a fake deal.
And even more so than in cases where, like, because I think it comes up in tandem a lot with, say, the Batman the Animated Series episode where Batman goes into the asylum and they try to convince him that, you know, he's just insane. Yeah. We obviously know that's not true going into it. That's not really what the story is trying to convey, I suppose.
Yeah.
But there is a certain amount of, maybe it's the writer, maybe it's director, it's the combination of all the people who work on a show, really. But to put the blame at somebody's feet, it's probably the writer. There's a certain amount of work the writer has to do to make it so, okay, I know this isn't the case, but let me see how far you can take me down that road and it still be interesting.
And I, you could really tell that, like, it, well, immediately I felt like it was thrown away, like, doing that type of thing. But then the next episode, they tried to go and, like,
they tried to
backtrack on that a bit. And it just made it even worse.
To this one, they end it with like spoilers. We should say spoilers, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Spoilers for Moon Knight.
Well, it'll be in the title, so this isn't your first warning, but yeah, spoilers. I'm glad I caught it before I was about to just say a big spoiler.
We just finished the season finale today.
But yeah, so a spoiler for the end of the show, but even at the very like last minute, almost, it's like a is it still in the asylum moment?
Oh yeah,
and no, it's like no, obviously it's fucking not.
It's just fucking not, and it could have been.
Like, they do that twice, by the way. They do it when he flashes, and it's Mark in the thing, and Harrow's still talking to him, and Harrow's like, "Oh, I'm bleeding," and it's revealed that that's just fake. And then they do it again when Lockley comes to kill Harrow. When Harrow's sitting in basically the exact same asylum, for reals, I guess. And it's dumb, is what
it is. Yeah, it's not good. That idea could have been played with a lot better if that was the whole show. But this whole show is such a mess. And, like, I really, because there's a lot of elements of this show I did like. I like the characters. I like the actors playing those characters. Ethan Hawke and Oscar Isaac,
they're both master class actors. They are going to be talked about in the annals of acting for a long time. They're both very good actors.
And like,
although I will say, as much as I like Ethan Hawke, and I think he's still a good actor in this. Especially the last couple, but throughout it feels like he's sleepwalking through this role.
I think he comes out pretty strong in this show, because he comes out and I'm like, oh, this is like a real interesting character. I'm glad they got Ethan Hawke for this.
I agree
it goes downhill fast,
and then in this last episode he feels like nothing.
Yeah, he seems like such a lame fucking villain, and not even there because it's like it doesn't even matter because I guess you're supposed to be worried about the big kaiju fight going on.
Yeah, which I wasn't a big fan of. I thought we'd grown past end finale is two CGI characters slamming into each other like figures.
That's one of my big problems with the show. My big problem as a whole with the show is the choices they decide to take Moon Knight in.
Yes.
And I get Moon Knight is a very malleable character where you could put him in many different situations. And like he could
he's dealing been with wholly retrofitted before, even in the comics. That kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, like that. he could be dealing with the street level stuff or the big, like,
right. More recently he was the villain for the Avengers and fought Mephisto and had the Phoenix Force and all that. I understand that he's a character that can be in those situations. I don't think that's where he works best in general, but I don't think the show does a good job of if he is so malleable, shaping him in the right way.
Oh yeah, no, that's too. But because like there's so much of this show where I'm like, really, that's the choice you make? Like my first one was like the suit being a magic construct thing.
Before we get, because as you can probably tell, dear listener, this is not going to be a super positive review. Yeah. I do want to talk about one of the creative choices, and you brought this up to me first, that I do like about the show, and it's beginning with Stephen Grant.
I like that so much.
That's a cool idea. That's a great way to start the show as like an everyman, and then we move into the crazy world of mercenaries.
Taking the show, especially taking... Hi, Mia. You want to say hi to Adam? Come here. Say hi. Good. Oh, did I just destroy my computer?
I hope not. I hope there's not a huge crack that I can't see.
Are you already recording?
Yeah. Hi, Mia. Okay. Can you hear me?
Say hi.
I can't see you. You're blurry in the background.
Yeah, I'll take them back. All right, Mia. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. What was I talking about? Starting a show where the premise has to deal with the whole multiple personality disorder thing, with the non-dominant personality, and having it from their perspective of like
they just keep blacking out.
Yeah, they're missing time and everything. And like they're the ones who's like life is in shambles because they're not quote unquote.
Yeah, they're not the real guy or whatever.
It was such an interesting choice.
I agree.
And it got me into the show pretty early on until like the end of that episode.
Yeah.
It's when like the first like stuff of like the magic and supernatural stuff starts happening, and like it happens, and then like in the next episode, like when it comes up, like before it, like I was like, oh, maybe they'll like play around with it's not real, it's all in his head, because like I thought that would be cool beforehand. And then like they start to a bit, like even you told me, but they like throw it away.
They throw that away immediately.
It doesn't, and even when they do, it doesn't like, it's not like I even question it for a second.
I was never like, oh, maybe Mark's just imagining this.
Yeah.
No, it's clearly a real thing.
And then like, that's the first thing that made me go, okay, maybe I got to readjust. And then I did, and then it didn't help because unless I readjusted every episode, it's not gonna help anything.
Let's talk. Okay, we did that. That's your prerequisite. Hey, we're not just assholes.
Yeah, there's stuff I like in this show. Like I'm not the biggest fan of the direct communication between a split personality, them directly talking to each other is not my favorite thing, but I am a sucker for a voice in head trope.
I liked voice in the head, and when they were doing reflection based, which was weird and it was kind of just abandoned, I'd liked that one scene where Mark is just kicking the shit out of that mirror so that Steven can't talk to him. That's a cool scene.
Yeah, that's cool. But I wasn't on that conceptually, but Mark and Steven's interactions with each other, I really enjoyed, and both of their interactions with Layla, I really enjoyed. Yes. That's like the main thing that kept me keep going. Yeah, I'll watch this show because I was actually enjoying the characters. Yeah,
that's together. The thing. Oscar Isaac is a good actor, like we said, and he had to be for this show. Mm-hmm. If he were a lesser actor, switching between the different personalities would have been awful, you know?
Yeah, you would have very easily seen so this is an act someone's doing.
Right.
Like you would never buy into the fact that mentally these are two separate people.
Right. The best other fictional version of this is, what is it? James McAvoy in Split.
Yeah,
I think he does a better job even Oscar Isaac does.
Mm-hmm. Especially because for what it is, it's more of like a drama type thing.
Yes, although it is schlocky superhero.
Yeah,
especially in Glass, where it is pretty. It's about as close as you can get to an MCU movie without being an MCU movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think multiple personality disorder, which isn't what it's called anymore. It's called dissociative identity disorder. That in it and on its own is a foggy territory for clinical psychology. You know, the actual concrete, this is a real thing that affects people. That's not as solid as some people might think it is. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to fictional portrayals of it, there's a pretty clear way that it works. And I like that this show goes into that in a way that Split doesn't. They're the same concept, you know, you bring up the altars to protect the real you from something. That's what the altars are for. But in this show, it really goes into, well, yeah, it was to protect him from abuse. Whereas that's mentioned, but you don't get to see the process of how the altar comes.
It reminded me a lot of what they sort of retconned a bit with the Hulk, with that's what the Hulk is.
Yeah.
Where it's like sort of like this is a shield Bruce Banner's put up, and there's a very solid reason for this.
Right. And it's a reason that, even though that probably isn't necessary given how weird the mind can be, for lack of a better term, I like that there's a through line of this personality does this thing. It serves this purpose.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that.
Fictional DID, I appreciate that.
And one thing I really appreciate that the show didn't do was make the personality disorder be magic. Like,
there were some talk about with multiverse madness going on, potentially Moon Knight was simply three variants existing in the same person, and things like that. Yes,
but one thing I think I brought up to you before that I'm sort of more accepting of the direct communication is that while it didn't come from a place of magic or anything, because of all this like interaction with the supernatural, it's causing him to interact with it in different ways to where they can actually communicate with each other. And like you get the controlled on the dime switches and stuff like that. Which if there wasn't any magic, like it didn't have that excuse or like that reasoning behind it, I would be like, oh, that's a dumb way to portray this sort of thing.
I'm so glad
the origin wasn't, he went crazy because of magic.
Yeah, or even, and this is, you know, a criticism of the comic books, he pretended to be these guys for so long that he forgot which guy he was.
Yeah.
Always dumb.
Yeah, I think it's been switched up a couple of times now in comics.
But that was the original.
It's because the original, it wasn't separate personalities. It was separate secret identities.
Right, and then those eventually became.
It sort of led into. So I
appreciate this. I'm not excited. What this show, especially the finale, has done has definitely made me not excited for what comes next, but I'm still interested, I guess. I am interested to see what brings about Jake Lockley.
That was my thing throughout the show, is I was so baffled on how long they were keeping Jake Lockley.
It was like a reveal. It was weird.
And like it was like, if you know the comics, then you know, and then like it's not like it's going to be a surprise, but they did a bunch of foreshadowing for it to be like a pen, like a drop.
Oh my God.
But it was more of like an, okay, I was wondering where that guy was.
Even when they do eventually reveal him, it's like all right.
Yeah, all right. Okay. It's weird that he was also Spanish too.
Yeah, I guess
it's just as weird as,
Stephen being British. I did like from the very first trailer of this show, people made fun of Oscar Isaac's British accent, us included. Yeah. And it's because it's a fake in-universe plug for the show. It's literally a fake British accent he's putting on. That's where that was the birth of Steven. So I guess presumably something similar happens with Jake. He was watching telenovelas or something and trying to pick up the voice and character when he needed it.
Well, I think he was speaking Spanish.
He was
right?
speaking Spanish. Yeah.
It'd be good if he speaks like a high school level of Spanish in the show. like that's the only like communication he could do. Someone like starts like speaking it like in a full conversation. He has to like slow down and try to catch up on what it is.
I like that because Oscar Isaac is Hispanic and I do believe is fluent in Spanish, so he would be that would be a choice,
by
the
director. No.
Not a limitation of the actor.
He would be choosing. That's what I'm saying, because I think Mark Spector is he's Jewish and
presumably half Hispanic somewhere, or there are Hispanic Jews, that's just a thing. So
yeah, but isn't he half Arabic in it?
I don't recall that might be something.
I think at least Egyptian or something like that.
No, I that might have happened, but I do believe that would at least contradict that thing where he's trying to talk to a contact in Egypt and they don't want to talk to him. And Layla's like, it's because you're a white guy trying to talk to an Egyptian.
Because you're a foreigner.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, look, if he's only half Egyptian, that could still be the reasoning. But
yeah, I just think I feel like I remember him speaking another language like that. But I don't recall.
I don't recall.
There's a lot of them. Maybe I'm thinking of Layla.
You might be. Layla is definitely Egyptian.
Yeah, she is for sure.
And they make a point of it in the final episode of when she saves a little girl. The little girl turns and says, "Are you an Egyptian superhero?
Are you Egyptian Falcon?" And she goes, "Yes."
Yeah, I even do the same fighting moves
that Falcon does. That they just made her Falcon, maybe there's like a mythological reason.
There's some connection between
from what they showed us, it's a hippo on a boat. Why give her bird wings?
Hippo on a boat who deals control with dead death. Bodies.
Yeah.
So she gets metallic bird wings that she uses in almost the exact same way.
Yeah, she does. Falcon she uses does. It as like the shields and like the little whips and everything.
She uses it to jump forward and hit people.
Yeah.
I have to imagine that that's just because they already had that CGI rigging in place and we're like, why don't we just use it again?
Yeah, maybe. I think that's, I can't think of like any creative reason to like choose that. Like if you could do anything, why would you do just Falcon again? Like it'd be fine if she had the wings and like they're like, okay, how do we make this different from Falcon? But they don't. She's a Falcon skin in Fortnite.
She's not even that different of a character. She's not a soldier, but she's a mercenary. So they have a similar skill set. Mm-hmm. They fight the same way. They don't even fight in unique ways with wings.
Yeah, that's such an odd
It's
choice.
Strange.
That's my main problem with this show is the choices they make. The most disappointing, it's probably not the worst choice, but the most disappointing choice in this was how they decided to do Mr. Knight.
Yeah, I think I remember texting you when I saw that, and I was like, I hate this.
Yeah, I could see MCU fans loving this because it's people are like, oh, he's like Deadpool.
What a way to instantly make me unhappy. Like, hey, if you love their portrayal of Mr. Knight, I'm glad.
A lot of people, from what I've seen, love this show. Like, this show doesn't seem like
people seem to love this show. I've seen even as recently as like people talking about the finale, lots of people whose opinions I trust online are not happy with it, But their mentions and replies and stuff are just absolutely filled with people like, I loved this episode. Yeah. This episode was awesome.
Look. And
I don't want to disparage those people. If you liked it, that's genuinely cool. But
yeah, look, me, this wasn't, none of this was technically bad. That's why I'm saying a lot of my problems is with the choices they make. I don't agree with those. I will say
for one thing that is, you can't say objectively, but I will say as has some more evidence for why it should be seen as bad. It's the CGI. The effects in the show.
That was the one thing, subpar. That was the one thing these Marvel shows had going for.
They had the budget to be decent.
Movie level CGI.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier had great CGI. Had great like effects around.
Like it looked like movie action scenes, but this felt like CW. His
way his suit moved on his face. This is more apparent in the Moon Knight suit. The
Mr. Knight suit, I think for the most part, other than the face, it looks good.
It looks good.
Yeah.
It looks good. That's why I was so excited. It looked straight out of the page. You know, it looked like Mr. Knight.
Mr. Knight, he's in the comic. He's like so intimidating.
He's intimidating. He's suave. He oozes cool in a way that most superheroes don't. There's a scene in I think it's Jeff Lemire. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Jeff Lemire's run where it's Mr. Knight and he has to go up a like abandoned apartment building. And it's basically The Raid, if you've seen that movie, but superhero. And it fucking rules. The action is great. If that scene had been in this show, it would
Is it the one where there's the guy who has the power to control people when they eat a sweat or whatever, and he's fighting all those people? It might be,
yeah.
Yeah, that one, that's pretty, it's a pretty sweet
action. And like the action and just how cool it looks, like it's so simple, but just him taking off the jacket part of his suit, rolling up the sleeve.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All right, I'm going to fight these guys. That's cool.
It's cool as. And I could really see it if they're doing like the whole each personality gets their own sort of Moon Knight persona.
That is not a bad idea. That's an idea I've thought of before.
Yeah, which I will say in this show, I'm not a fan of the construct conceptually,
but I did like the idea
of if you're doing that, each personality has their own Moon Knight suit. That being said, to the point I was getting to, that what's his name? That's Scott McCall, Stephen Grant in the comics being the billionaire, the suave guy that
he's Batman.
Yeah, I could see him being the Mr. Knight. And I see that tied together really well. So if they're doing that, I see why Mr. Knight isn't that, because Stephen Grant is so different.
But either way, that change would have been okay if you just given Mr. Knight to Jake Lockley, because that's kind of what they're going for. A cool guy who still kicks ass.
Mm-hmm.
But giving it to Steven turned him into a goofball, and
it's just
a strange choice. And in the comics, the way it was sort of done, and it's not as clear divide as I'm going to make it seem right now.
But
they made it so that Moon Knight was sort of like this spirit of vengeance for life. He was more like Batman as the terror hero kind of thing, whereas Mr. Knight was more Batman the Gadgeteer, like that car we see in the end credit scene. That's Mr. Knight's car. That he drives around, and he's much more either just regular hand-to-hand fighting you or using his car and stuff to fight you.
Yeah,
that's his thing. And I guess what the end credit scene implied to me is that Jake Lockley, instead of getting a Moon Knight suit, gets a Moon Knight car.
I don't know if that's the case.
But that's what it implied to me.
And yeah, that baffled me too, because like at the end you see Khonshu and he's in like a suit. Like he's in
it's not quite the Mr. Knight suit, but he is in a suit.
Like it. So if you were going to give anyone the Mr. Knight suit, give it to Jake.
Yeah. It's baffling. It's genuinely baffling. So
that's the main thing is I keep saying I don't like the choices. It's because they confuse me so much.
They vex me so.
It's so fucking weird, and I don't get it.
And look, it works for some people. It does not work for me.
Yeah, look, it doesn't work for me.
And not only were the effects not great, they were passable. They weren't the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, they weren't. They were fine.
But they weren't up to snuff with the rest of the like WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, Loki. Yeah.
Say what you will about those shows. Anything else wise,
yeah, they look like the movies,
but they look good. Mm-hmm. This show did not look good in some parts.
That's one thing about this show that, like, I was like, oh, maybe I was too hard on the other ones, because I was like, oh, the other ones are really good, like for four or five episodes, and then they go downhill. I didn't get that for Moon Knight. It was
Moon Knight, I liked the first episode.
I liked. I had fun in bits of the other episodes. Like episode 4, I know you didn't like it, but I liked it when it was like mummy-esque Indiana Jones, adventure.
I didn't like that very much, but I can understand why you would.
Mm-hmm. And I did really like the monster in that.
I didn't hate that. I mean,
it was maybe the best thing they fought throughout the series.
Well, it was clearly better than the Scooby-Doo jackal guys. The live action Scooby-Doo film looking motherfuckers.
It was way better than them. At some moments there, it was like genuinely creepy.
Yeah, when he's crawling around the walls,
yeah,
and leaping out, and after she breaks his arm, he's trying to jab.
Yeah, when you get a full look at him, he's not great. But I like that moment where, like, it's kind of comedic, but it's not like stop and tell you a joke, or like she's in an actual tense moment. She gets out of the shadow and he grabs her and drags her back in.
That wasn't bad. I like parts of that.
But yeah, I
think it really felt like they only half finished their whole idea of a mummy or Indiana Jones style tomb raid. Like they had the bones for it, but they kind of just went through the motions of one.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's definitely, they're like, oh, we have stuff we need to get through towards the end of this episode, let's move through this
right thing. And it didn't feel like any of the puzzles or any, like, this wasn't fucking Nathan Drake.
That was my one thing, was like the first puzzle is they're in a room and there's like six hallways leading off, and like, okay, this is the right hallway because it's this eye and that means
right because whatever. Steven's clever, he can draw the eye, and he's like, what's
stopping them from just going down or bringing the hall?
Seven guys.
Yeah.
Arthur Harrow could have brought seven guys or fucking 14. He had plenty. And just sent them in buddy system down each hallway and waited for one of them to radio in.
Hey, I found the right radio place. It's like a door. Like it seemed like it was like maybe 10 feet away down the hall towards the little like embalming room.
And then when they find it, they find Alexander the Great, which that should have probably been a bigger deal, that Alexander the Great was like magic and had superpowers in this universe.
Yeah.
You think that would have come up in Eternals or something? Well, no, he's not. He's an avatar of Amit.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, well, he is Amit's voice. And it's like, okay. But like, he's also Amit's everything else.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, he's Ahmed's voice, he's Ahmed's eyes.
If I was in that situation, I'd be like, oh, he's his body on this plane. Break his chest open. Yeah. Not like the
break his specific. Break his sternum open, peel him open, see what's in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they were like, they really were just like kind of like, it felt like the worst parts of National Treasure. There are great parts of National Treasure where they don't do this, but it felt like the worst parts of National Treasure where the solution to the puzzle, or the worst parts of Ready Player One, where the solution to the puzzle is that the main character just already knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no, what is the puzzle? It's, oh, I know that this is this, so this is the answer to the puzzle, and that's it. And that's never fun.
Yeah, look, I like the idea of Steven being sort of the brains of the operation.
I like that.
And not because he has more information, but I guess in this case, he just does. But I think it would be much better if, and I kind of got the sense that that's what it was, but then they kind of like flat out contradicted it.
Yeah.
But it's how he comes towards these problems, where Mark Spector, it's like brute force. Like,
yeah, he's a straightforward guy. Yeah. If I hit it hard enough, I'll get the answer.
But yeah, but Steven will come at it much more outside the box. Right. I think they're like, oh, Steven's
clever. He knows this
Steven
stuff.
Steven just learned more than Mark.
Right. Did. And the show is strange because it kind of wants to have it both ways. They quickly go, Steven is like, I think almost word for word, oh, Mark's got this, but wait, we're the same person. I've got this, and he immediately knows how to fight.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. But should not the same be for all of the book learning that Steven has? That information should be in Mark's head.
That information, because that's, it wasn't, I mean, I guess like maybe the eye thing or stuff like that, but it wasn't like Mark's like, oh, I can't figure, like, I can't wrap my head around this. It was him being like, oh, I don't have this information.
Right. And Steven does.
Yeah.
And
like, I guess it makes sense if one is blacking out while the other is in or whatever.
But then Steven shouldn't know how to fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Which they do. They toe that line for ages. So I was like, okay, that I guess that makes sense. And then
like,
they don't.
Maybe like if it was like like someone throws a punch and
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Muscle memory like doesn't dodge
thing.
But him just deciding, okay, I'm gonna fight now because I can.
And then like even on the boat where he's swinging the bat, okay, anybody can swing a bat. But in this final episode where he puts on the suit and just starts night winging everybody, and it's like, all right, I guess.
Yeah, it's
a strange choice. And then there's the strange implication pretty early on when Layla meets Steven that not only is Steven like an amalgamation of, you know, that movie Mark watched as a kid, but he's also based primarily on Layla. They both know French. They both know Egyptian mythology. They both have the same favorite like poem.
Yeah.
Like it's implied that Layla is where Steven gets a lot of his personality from.
Yeah.
And which makes it weird that Layla's there with them. And Steven's still like, yeah, but I'm the one who knows the answer to this puzzle.
Yeah, I guess it's he had the time to study heaps while just sitting in a museum when she was actually getting shit
being
done.
Being mercenary, yeah, I guess. Yeah. It's just, it's a strange choice.
Yeah, it's weird.
And then, like, I was okay with the delineation of power, you know, if it was the case that Steven was clever, and while Steven was learning, Mark was blacked out, he couldn't learn. But when he learned to fight, Steven was blacked out. But then you bring in Jake Lockley, who is, I guess, just Mark on steroids.
Yeah, he's just Mark, but better, because he's in two different situations where Mark's like, oh, I'm kind of screwed in this. This is something I can't handle.
He's Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, and then he blinks, and then the situation is handled. Like, there's the worst of it is in the finale.
In the finale, that's absolutely the worst.
Yeah, when fucking Ethan Hawke, I forgot his character's name.
Arthur Harrow.
Yeah, Harrow is like beating
got him dead to rights.
Yeah, he's using fucking telekinesis stick or whatever
to make him hit himself or whatever. Yeah, it was weird. It looked
beating
bad
the
too.
Shit out of him. Yeah, and like he's like, oh, I'm just fucking donezo, and then he blacks out and kills like everybody around him.
Kills everybody. And we know that what's her face, Layla, has the ability to, when she has a second, just knock the moon crescent holding her arm down. That's just the thing she can do. So he must have killed all of those people in a small enough window of time that she didn't just like escape and was like, all right, I'll help or anything.
I guess she was like, oh, he's got this.
He's
handle.
Got it. Oh, his suit's different. Now he's wearing a beret or whatever. Now he's a car.
I am really curious. I hope it's not a car. Because I am really curious on the Jake Lockley one.
Yeah, they've already used the two ones that they.
If I was to guess, it would be the black and white suit.
It might be, or there's the black and white suit with, instead of any moon stuff, he's just got a weird mask, like a V for Vendetta style mask. Maybe that's it, or perhaps there is the promotional footage of him in a white hoodie, looking like he's just out of 8 Mile. Maybe it's that.
Well, no, I think that's the one he was wearing, like, in the desert and stuff.
It's
like,
slightly different. Because we talked about that, and I checked in the episode. It's mostly the same one, but there are slight differences, so I don't know.
I don't know.
You'd think she'd be like, oh, hell, Mark changed outfits again, and now he's
It's different everyone. From the two, so that must not be Mark or whatever.
And then, like, I saw that twist coming immediately when he was like, oh, okay, I'll release the two of you.
Yeah, and it was just...
So I guess now, presumably, Mark and Steven are going to try to live a quasi-normal life, time-sharing a body.
I guess they're time-sharing a body and wife.
Yeah, that's weird. they're time-sharing a body and wife, and then sometimes they're going to black out and do Moon Knight stuff.
Yeah, which... I mean, they're probably... If they do another season, it'll be something happens. Conju's like, I need Mark or Steven.
And he's like, I need Mark. Steven. Steven's the one who knows the star chart or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. He was giving Steven so much shit at the end there where he's like, oh, I only need Mark. I'm like, dude, none of this would have been done.
Also, why was he so like, I need Mark? I need Mark. If at the end he was like, I only ever needed Jake Lockley.
I don't fucking know.
Like, dude, it was so strange. Every time Steven would be there, he'd be like, send out Mark. Or oh, I don't need you. I only need Mark. Was he trying to keep it a secret from them?
He was, because at the end, he's like, oh, they didn't know how much stuff they were because I kept it a secret this whole time.
But like, why wasn't he just like, send out Jake? Or like, when he brought them back to life, like immediately when Amit's about to fucking break his head or whatever, and he's on the floor, and when Mark comes back to life, he's like, Mark? And disappears like that. It was so fucking stupid. It was so funny. It was like, if I was Amit, I'd be like, oh, I guess he had a prior thing going on. He was like, I'd rather die than let you escape. Yeah. And then he just disappeared, and I'd be like, was he making that up? did he just say a name and disappear? Well,
I mean, he did tell Layla that it needs to be an avatar to kill.
Yeah, but then she was like, Okay, I'll become the avatar of Tawet.
Well, yeah, but he didn't know that.
He didn't know that.
She was just like, oh, I won't be your avatar. And he's getting his ass kicked. And he's like, oh, fuck, my avatar? I'm going to go get my big brother.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back here.
I'm just saying, if I was Ahmed, I'd be like, was he lying?
Did
he just make up a guy so he could leave?
Yeah, and like, it was so... Khonshu in the show is another really confusing thing because I really like the design. The voice I had to really get used to.
I think it's a good voice. I just don't think it's a good voice for Khonshu.
Yeah, it's a good a voice in your head voice.
Yeah, he has a nice voice.
But
that's not what I'm saying. You know, that's not what we're saying. The actor has a great voice. But I don't think it works for Khonshu.
Yeah, I don't think it.
I certainly never got the when I read especially modern Moon Knight comics and Khonshu's voice box, his speech bubbles are like inverted colors. Strange hieroglyphic-esque font. I certainly don't read that.
Seem very ethereal.
Ethereal and ancient and perhaps a tad eldritch. Mm-hmm. I don't read that and think, what if this was a baritone British man?
You're just fucking yelling all the time.
Yeah. And like, I just don't understand it. Like, were there no Egyptian voice actors with cool voices?
I don't know. But yeah, with him, I was like, I really enjoy the concept of him being like, I'm fucked up, but for the right reasons, like
pragmatic, I'm lawful neutral kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
And like, I liked it, especially at the end when he is like, he's like, you don't give people the chance but to like make the choices, and like that's a really interesting, or could be a really interesting argument on is it more moral to stop someone from doing something evil,
or it's Minority Report.
Which
Ethan Hawke isn't in, but Tom Cruise is.
Him just fucking backtracking on that immediately when he has Arthur and he's like, oh, kill him, he'll do it again. And it's like, dude, like that, they bring it up.
Especially with their phrasing of it, because he could have easily been like, no, this isn't because they'll do it again.
Yeah,
he's already done it.
What he's done.
Just did it. I'm going to kill him.
But they stop and make that argument that's like, oh, just like him. I'm like, then what's the fucking point? You could have just let her do it. You're fighting against nothing.
Yeah.
You're being a child throwing a tantrum, being like, I want to be right.
And then it's just so strange to me. And the big council of avatars of the Egyptian gods go down easy. Mm-hmm. Like they go down off screen and just get obliterated by Arthur Harrow in like a second.
Yeah, it's so, there's choices they make. And my main ones, it's gotta be with Moon Knight. With the stuff they do with him. Having him, I mean, I know a lot of it's Khonshu, but by proxy, it's Moon Knight powers. Having him have the ability to spin the sky around him was so fucking stupid. And I was like, okay, it's just
I thought it was a purely mental vision.
Yeah, it's like, Khonshu's like, I'm letting you see it. But then you do reaction shots of people in the fucking city and everything being like, holy shit, the sky's spinning.
Yeah, and then the Egyptian gods being like, oh, you fucked with the sky, now we gotta put you in rock jail.
Rock jail,
which is super easy to break out of, I guess.
Yeah,
rock jail, which is just grabbing the thing and crushing
and smash
it.
You.
I'm stupid. Missed opportunity to not have Layla run through that room full of statues. Be like, I don't know what Khonshu looks like, and just grab all of them and start smashing them on the floor. Also,
yeah,
at the end of the show, they just sort of abandoned that room full of gods and rock.
I don't fucking know, dude. But doing that, making him fucking fly.
Oh, yeah. You forget, Mark. I'm the god of the night sky. Take to the sky, you fool.
He says, and he specifies night when? Right then. So it's like,
can he only fly at night?
No, because he did it here. It was daytime. He shot him up in the day.
And then he made it night.
Yeah, it made it seem like he could only do it. So fucking.
And then, like, if he could do that, why not do it though? Why was he running across rooftops in that episode?
Yeah, and then, like, okay, if you're gonna do construct suit, I'm fine with doing that. But making the suit indestructible, anytime anything happens, I don't care.
I lost all tension when he couldn't be hurt, and any damage he did sustain, he would heal, including death. And then beyond all of that, I get making it a magic suit. Okay, you don't want him to be Batman. Then why did you give him magical versions of Batman shit?
Yeah,
why did you give him crescent blades?
Grappling hooks and batarangs.
Especially if he could fly. Why did he have a grappling hook?
I don't fucking know.
And then fucking Mark gets grappling hook and infinite crescent blades and shit. And flight, because you need the cape to fly. Every time he'd become Steven, he'd drop out of the sky. And Steven just got two little pipes. Like that guy from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, fucking A. This show is so baffling. I'm so confused. I'm really disappointed because I really wanted to be into this show. Look, it's not bad to the point where I'm like, I can't watch this.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst thing I'd ever seen in the world.
I'm probably gonna watch season two because I am I'm so confused. I'm curious. I'm like, I gotta know what's going on. I don't understand.
Yeah. But I won't be doing so excitedly like I started the show.
Yeah, no, I was pretty into it. I was like, oh fuck yeah, Moon Knight came out. It went downhill.
You think Moon Knight's gonna join the team with Blade and Black Knight?
Maybe. I don't.
That's the best place for it. Plus, he was also he lives in London.
I could see that.
Also, I like that Disney has seemed to take on board everybody's criticism that like the first saga of the MCU kind of mostly took place in America, and that's weird. So they decided that this next one is gonna have a huge London focus.
Yeah, look, that's if you need it to be white, and if he can't do America,
I can't wait for their eventual Australia saga.
But look, this back-to-back with Book of Boba Fett has really dampened my excitement for Obi-Wan, which it's probably the thing, like, when Disney was like, hey, we're doing all these shows and everything, and I saw Obi-Wan was on there, I was like, fuck yes, I'm so fucking down for that, I'm so excited for that. And it's kind of
took the wind out of your sails.
I'm kind of wary about it now. It just got a new trailer today for Star Wars Day, which we're recording.
I didn't know
on.
That
happy Star Wars Day, everybody.
Yeah, we put out a Star Wars episode.
Yeah, we had a Star Wars episode this week. Oh yeah, this might be a bit dated because also Doctor Strange comes out at the end of this week, and we think more people care about that, and we'll probably care more about that.
From what I've heard, and this has maybe no bearing on the film, but from what I've heard, people, diehard MCU fans are hating it, but people who like Sam Raimi are into it. And guess which one I am, baby.
Yeah, well, look, I like the MCU, but I also really like Sam Raimi. But also, I really like pre-MCU Marvel.
One of the biggest complaints that I've heard, that is not a complaint to me, not enough cameos.
Well, I mean, yes, that shouldn't be, that's not a problem with the movie, whatever, except for the kind of, that's kind of like one of the big things they're pitching this movie.
Well, that's
as
the marketing. So, I don't think Sam Raimi ever really wanted to do any of that.
It's fine. I'm saying it's not a problem for me, but I could see why that would make someone mad. I hope it's not enough cameos and it's actually characters, because in one of the newer trailers, it's confirmed full on that that's Professor X, but you get his gold hover chair, like from the cartoon, basically, that he's in. And I'm like, fuck, I want to see that so bad. And if I see that for 2 seconds, I'm gonna be disappointed.
I want
Patrick Stewart to be like, hey, I'm here to hang out with you forever, Dr. J.
I'd rather he just wasn't in it. If I love Sir Patrick Stewart, I don't think he needed to come back to this character.
Yeah, look, I think for the MCU sake, I don't think he I don't know if having Patrick Stewart's going to do too much good for them, because if they do Patrick Stewart now and do anybody else Professor X later, people are going to be like, why? Well, you had Patrick Stewart, why?
Because Patrick Stewart's like 80 years old.
Yeah, but...
And they want to get somebody who's like 13 so they can have them on contract for the rest of their life.
But look, I love Patrick Stewart. I love Patrick Stewart's Professor X. Seeing more of that is not gonna, it's not a bad thing for me at all.
I don't know. I really liked Logan, and I think that was a very good.
That was, I would agree with that.
That was a swan song for his Professor X.
For that character.
And taking that great closure and being like, okay, but what if I add a DLC? I don't care.
Yeah, but the one thing will say why I'm more fine with this is because for one, that already is in a separate X-Men timeline from the X-Men timelines. So this one is almost confirmed to be, but because of that, and because of the chair, I'm thinking maybe this is cartoon Professor X. And you bring me cartoon Professor X, who didn't really get a close, portrayed by Patrick Stewart. I'm in for it, baby.
I don't know. It doesn't do anything for the little detective in my brain.
No, I'm not excited because I'm like, oh shit, look at that. I'm excited because I'm like, fuck yeah, I love these guys. I want to see them do more stuff. But also,
well, the chair is just, you want to see that.
I'm not for the detective
in your brain.
Oh shit, that's the chair. But look, I'm real excited about that chair, but that's because I think it means he's cartoon, and that's probably why they're doing what is it, X-Men 1984 or whatever, 97 I think it is. X-Men 1984 is already a thing, and it's called Future Days of Past. I'm excited for some Professor X in my life. I'll never say no to more Professor X in my life, unless it's a retcon, like them being like, no, this is the Logan Professor X and he doesn't die. Then it's
not. I don't know.
Also, look, I'm curious to see who fills out that Illuminati team. Is it gonna be Namor? God, I hope so.
I hope it's Namor. He's supposed to be in Black Panther too, so maybe we see him here first.
If I was to guess, probably this might be where they introduce Mr. Fantastic.
Maybe weird to do it here. Mr. And then, Fantastic. Yeah, I guess. Presumably some form of Iron Man. He made all those bots.
Yeah, there's all that talk about Tom Cruise Iron Man.
Why are people excited?
I don't know. That sounds like dog shit to me.
I like Tom Cruise. I think he's a good actor, but why do you care if he's playing Iron Man?
I don't fucking know. I don't care about Tom Cruise. I know there's a lot of Tom Cruise heads. I like Top Gun, but that's not making me be like, oh fuck yeah, Tom Cruise.
I don't know,
suck my
I
nipples.
Think he's a great actor. He's great in Minority Report.
Yeah, look, I've never not liked him in something, but he's never been one of those names that get me excited for him being involved.
It's him and the film recognition of Mission Impossible. Those two together get me excited because I think those are amazing movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like that he does his own stunts and is
I'll give him that. Yeah, he's legitimately like,
he's legitimately maybe mentally ill. Somebody should check on Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
maybe get him out of Scientology.
Maybe somebody should let that dude into therapy.
But you know, while I'm here for it, hell yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm not against,
but I don't understand why him being Iron Man is such a cool prospect to some people. Who cares?
I don't fucking know. That's the one thing. Who fucking cares? And if you're gonna do, oh shit, it's Iron Man, like, I don't think they should do it anytime soon. But that excitement should come from, it's Robert Downey Jr. coming back or whatever.
Yeah.
Doing a different guy is so baffling. Like, it's like if they're like, oh shit, yeah, we're doing the Spider-Man 4 sequel,
but this time it's Leonardo DiCaprio, like, it almost,
but now it's Timothy Chalamet, and then people are like, oh shit, dude. Well,
I think part of it comes from that Tom Cruise was in the running for Iron Man.
Yeah, but that's just like a weird,
but like, who cares?
Who cares?
I wouldn't be excited. I wasn't excited in general, but if No Way Home, one of the Spider-Man had been, say, Leonardo DiCaprio or Michael Jackson, I wouldn't be like,
Michael Jackson, I'd be like,
stay away from those high schoolers.
Michael Jackson, I'd be like, holy shit, dude, is this the best movie ever?
Yeah, they deep faked Michael Jackson.
That's like if, like, they're doing like the Superman, like, they make a final Crisis movie, and
one,
like,
of the things you're supposed to be excited about is Nick Cage Superman.
Yeah, like, oh, one of these Superman or Nicolas Cage, I would be psyched for that. I guess.
I'd be like, who cares? It's not even that. Nick Cage was going to be the Superman. He wasn't in the running. It'd be like when they were casting Henry Cavill, they also said just on a whim, hey, maybe we'll get Lawrence Fishburne, and then Lawrence Fishburne Superman shows up, and people are like, oh, it's the guy they were thinking about picking.
Yeah, I don't get it. Dude. I guess
Nicolas Cage makes more sense. That's that was a what if, that was a never been, but this was like he started it. He was almost Superman. This is like, who gives a shit? It was in the casting decision. I never even sent Tom Cruise a call. It might have been early on.
I don't fucking
know. Who cares?
But look, these are pre-opinions you're listening to afterward.
This is we're messing with time in much the same way they're messing with multiverses. Yeah. You're going to hear this episode afterwards, but I assure you, listener, it was recorded.
It's Star Wars Day. I told you that already. You know,
it's May the 4th.
It'd be weird for me to be like, look at all these details dating this episode, just so I could get away with recording this episode next week.
Anyway, that's our opinions on Moon Knight.
That's Moon Knight. Probably.
Let's give it our patented number score that we often forget to do.
I was thinking where I would rank it on the Disney Marvel shows.
Loki's probably the best overall show.
I think I enjoyed Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I like
Falcon
and the Winter Soldier. That's the one I like the most. But on purely like
Loki's probably
the best show. Especially because Loki's the only one that didn't have a dog shit finale. I like Falcon and the Winter Soldier had a dog shit finale.
I do think is that right? I feel like I remember, I barely remember what happened in it, but I feel like Loki had a dog shit, what do you call that? The finale? Yeah, but there's like, it's like using competition shows where they're like, this is the
runner-up?
No, there's a word for it.
Well, penultimate is the word for
well,
that.
Well, no, there's a word that comes, it's something finale, and it's like the right before the finale, but penultimate episode works for that. I feel like I remember that being dog shit, but then I was pretty into
it. I don't
the
think
King.
That's true. Yeah, I think it's just not action packed. That episode is mostly
in the land of Loki's, Loki's. I'm totally
but even that one had the really cool classic Loki makes a fake Asgard to get that big horse ghost to eat it.
Was that cool?
That was cool. That was rad.
I feel like you're being sarcastic.
No. It's hard to tell because my voice is just sort of...
Well, yeah, but I know when you're being sarcastic.
But no, I'm genuine. It's really cool.
Yeah, okay.
Classic Loki has like this big final hurrah where he sacrifices himself to save everybody else, but because he's got like more illusion magic kind of thing, and he makes a big
I remember it. I just don't remember horse ghost to eat. That cool, and this seems very ungenuine. How cool you think it is?
It's neat. It's
but
fun.
Anyways, this is I liked this show.
It might
more
be bottom of the barrel.
If.
Oh no, I wasn't a fan of What If. This is probably above What If.
Is there one we're missing? WandaVision. And if we're missing one, that's got to be at the bottom, I guess.
Yeah. Because She-Hulk's not out yet. Miss Marvel's not out yet.
Oh my God! I was so excited for She-Hulk. Miss Marvel, I wasn't too excited for, but I was like, yeah, I'm gonna watch it, and I'm still gonna watch it. It's kind of my job now.
That job we don't get paid for.
Yeah,
a purely voluntary job.
Yeah, but look, it's my job for you, dear listener. But She-Hulk is so less exciting to me because at least like Obi-Wan. It's more Book of Boba Fett that I'm worried about because while they're both on Disney Plus and Disney Plus shows,
but so is Mandalorian.
Yeah, they are two separate.
And
things.
Mandalorian is good.
Yeah, but She-Hulk feels so much more like in the same ballpark as Moon Knight that I'm like, is it gonna get fucked up hard?
It might. It definitely might.
But anyways, if you love this show and hate us now, let us know. You can do that at our email at theatomicemail@gmail.com.
Or our social media accounts, like our Twitter, @AtomicAndroids.
Or Instagram, is there an @ on Instagram? I say this every week.
Sometimes there is, yes.
@AtomicAndroid2020. Or
our brand new,
we've mentioned
at
it,
time of recording.
We've mentioned it last week, which would now be 2 weeks ago when you're listening.
We'll probably mention it in the Doctor Strange episode as well. So,
third time's the charm. We'll call it brand new. But yeah, we're on TikTok now.
TikTok. The Atomic Android, I think is what we're called.
Yeah, I believe so. Follow us there. Some clips might go up pretty soon. I gotta make them, but it's maybe we'll do exclusive news on TikTok.
Maybe we'll do our when we go watch Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah, do like immediate reactions.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, while we're shouting out things that we've had a YouTube for a while now. If you're new, you might not know that. Where you can find a full ass let's play of Scooby-Doo Night of 100 Frights.
It's kind of the only one. We were gonna do the Arkham games,
and we still might,
not too long ago. We still might, but we had some technical issues, as in we were missing a wire that we desperately needed. So we didn't get
that
recorded.
For want of a wire, we could not.
But look, if you guys are interested, you'd let on different Let's Plays and stuff like that you want to see.
Let us know some suggestions. We'll probably end up doing
it. I got a lot of love for like the older PS2 games. I have some of those, and those are pretty easy to get recorded with our setup. So if you got any of those, I'm thinking Attack of the Power of Juju might be fun.
Oh, that does sound fun.
I also have a love for the game Scalar. I know you love Gex, but Gex looks like a palette swap of the Scooby-Doo game.
Okay, but I have
I did too. Scooby-Doo. I never, not one of my Scooby-Doo memories were a bad one. And that game made me want to kill myself.
Oh, great. Now we got to put a suicide hotline thing in the fucking description.
Anyways.
I'm being facetious, by the way. If you genuinely are struggling, it's okay to reach out for help. Like,
Scooby-Doo did not make me want to kill myself.
But thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode, guys. This one was a hot one.
Yeah, we were feisty.
Yeah.
Bye.
Moon Knight. Bye.
Oh, he didn't moon a single person. Dividing those out, you get that the ocean is 0.0002% pee. That's just human pee.
Do we get up to a solid percent if we factor in Fitch?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.